Hey, thanks, Bill and Chad and Donna Blanchard, our buddy at the Pledge Table for HPR2, and you're back with the conversation on HPR2. And some people just have the healing touch. The role of the healer is cherished in cultures around the world. Kimo Armitage has written a young adult novel called The Healers that draws on his culture's centuries-old oral traditions to tell the story of two young men studying to be the next generation of Hawaiian healers. He spoke about his efforts to fill a gap in contemporary Hawaiian literature.
I feel like I'm making a bridge because In the early 18th century, as well as the 19th century, a lot of our oral traditions were actually written down. However, they're written in Hawaiian language newspapers, which when the Hawaiian language got banned, a lot of it was inaccessible to modern readers. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm making a bridge. I'm not reinventing anything. I'm just closing a gap that was once there.
It is remarkable the degree to which the Hawaiians embraced written language in the 19th century. Yeah?
It was amazing. Over a million pages of newspaper articles, and over 100 newspapers in the 19th century.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing. Our country at one time was, the Hawaiian nation at one time was the most literate country in the world. And so I'm glad that I have a lot of, for me personally, what that means is I've been able to have a lot of resources to draw on, and I'm very grateful for that.
How did you get access to them? Just going through newspaper archives as a starting point?
Yes, just going to newspaper archives, Bishop Museum archives, the Hawaii State archives, as well as a lot of texts that were printed that had that information. It's been really an interesting and worthwhile foray into this mass repository of written things that exist. Stories, advertisements, ideas, anything you could possibly imagine were in the newspapers.
There's also one of the things that emerges when you bring these stories back to life is a value system, the value system of pre-contact Hawaii in terms of family, the role of the healer, right?
Yes. Culturally speaking, we're humans, and I think that one of the things that I wanted to convey was that we had lifestyles and families that had different goals and had different objectives and represented different facets of life. And I'm just presenting a tiny one. I'm just presenting this fictional life of this family who come from a long tradition of healers. And healing, Hawaiian healing, exists today. And so we know that this transmission of ritual, this teaching has endured. And so I'm really happy for that as well.
Is it having a resurgence, do you think, in the 21st century?
Well, I can tell you that as a teacher at the Center for Hawaiian Studies, we do have classes in La'aulapa'au, and it's one of our most popular classes. Mm-hmm. It's one of our most popular subjects for the students to take. It's always filled. And so we do have an interest, especially, I think, I'm not an expert on healing per se, but especially when it comes to organic, natural methods of, bringing the body to its fullest potential and for healing. And so I'm interested in the resurgence. I mean, I'm sure there's always been an interest, but to have it actually at a university level where you can take classes in Hawaiian healing is, to me, amazing. And it's one of our most popular classes.
Well, I'm drawing kind of a parallel to navigation in the sense of ways of learning that were almost discarded. Yeah.
Yes. Well, they were lost with navigation in particular. That tradition was lost. I mean, we had to. If you look at the story of the Hokulea and its history, they went, and a lot of their training comes from Papa Mau, who is from Micronesia. So I think the resurgence of Hawaiian knowledge and the right to practice and the right to learn Hawaiian knowledge is so important, and it's thriving now.
By aiming your book, The Healers, at young adults. What do you want them to take away from it, ideally?
I go back to that idea of a bridge. When I started writing the book, I realized that there was a gap in literature with some of the traditions some of the literary traditions that existed in books and in novels and in stories of the previous generations in Hawaiian literature and in the Hawaiian literary canon had been lost or had been misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by this is that, we hear a lot of times now, we'll hear chants, Hawaiian Oli, and the truth is that there exist many types of Hawaiian Oli. And so I wanted to explore that, to bring it to light, to reaffirm and to show the differences and when it was appropriate to use one and appropriate to use another. And it started me off on a journey to discover the other literary traditions that we had. And just like how we have metaphor and simile and all these other tools in the English literary canon, we have the same thing in Hawaiian. It's a strong, viable, amazing tradition. And I hope I'm able to capture that in my novel.
So there are actual ways of writing, ways of expressing yourself that can be gleaned from looking back at that tradition.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, that's a powerful kind of a point of departure, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot to be able to bring to a young audience.
Well, I try, and it's not I think I just wanted it to be a footstep, just the first step towards inciting other writers to write, inciting students to be unapologetic about their learning and to embrace our culture. And I also wanted to, in this day and time, what I wanted to do is we have a whole generation of students who are coming up in the language immersion and also charter schools. And I wanted to give them literature that they could sink their teeth in, something that resonated with their island lifestyle, something that resonated with their culture. And that's why I took this project on. But it was also because within me there existed these stories that I wanted to tell, these stories that I had heard from my youth, from my grandfather, from my grandmother, from my family, from where I lived. I was born and raised in Hale'iwa. And I wanted to share those as well, because I think that they could help shape us into being more aware, not only of ourselves, but of other people.
Kimo Armitage is the author of The Healers, a young adult novel published by the University of Hawaii Press. You can find out more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.
Support for today's programming comes from the 11th Annual Hawaii Book and Music Festival, celebrating reading, storytelling, and music, April 30th and May 1st on the grounds of Honolulu Hale. Event schedule online at hawaiibookandmusicfestival.com.
O Molokai, o Lanai, o Mau, o Kaho'olawe, o Hawaii.
Today in the Backyard Quiz, we're continuing our look back at the history of Hawaii Public Radio. As you likely know, public radio is not a medium known for spending largesse or extravagance, and HPR is no exception. In its infancy, your public radio station had only 2 full-time employees, and they operated out of a basement rented from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Startup expenses loomed large, and there were no spare funds for luxuries like manufactured acoustic baffling, which is used to soundproof recording studios. That didn't stop intrepid HBR pioneers Cliff Eblen and Bob Miller, though. They found a cheap, readily available household material that was able to get the job done. If you can name the mystery material that insulated HBR's original sound studio, then you'll be today's winner. So call us at 941-3689 or 877-941-3689.